Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
My name is Tom Kyle. My beautiful wife is not with me this morning in spite of Rick sitting in the front row where my wife usually would. We have the privilege of serving this church, and if we can do anything for you, please let us know, or you can meet with me afterwards. If you're a guest here, you're relatively new, we welcome you here. As already has been mentioned, we love worship here. We don't apologize for it. We love it, and we also love the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So I'm going to open up the scriptures in just a moment, but I just want to put a yes and amen on Kingdom Life. Coming up, I think it's the last Thursday of the month. I think it's the 26th at 7 p.m. And I just want to encourage you. This is a gift. This is a gift to you. And I need to learn it more. I've read the Bible through at least once in 44 years. I'm still amazed what I see. I'm still amazed what I find. My wife and I went to visit our grandsons last 10, 12 days, and we went to church with him in Chicago. And this man opened up the Bible, and it was in the New Testament, and my mouth was open, which isn't unusual for me. But I'm listening to this man. I never saw that. It was one of the most brilliant messages I've ever heard. It was jaw-dropping. It was powerful. It was effective. And I was just reminded again, there's gold in the hills. And I don't know it all. But it's having gifted teachers open it up and explain it. And I saw so many practical applications to my family. It was amazing. And it's all in here. And he's given gifts to the body, teachers, to instruct us. So you might say, do you need help in your marriage? Do you want to see breakthroughs in your world, in your life, at work? Open the Bible up and let's dig deep and find the gold that's in them, our hills. Amen. Amen? So it's every Thursday starting the end of this month, and I can't encourage it too highly or strong enough. I'd love to see 100 people in the room at the end of this month. It's not a long time. I think I try and wrap it up by 8:15. It's not a late night, and it'll be worth our time. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to, in just a few minutes that we have, I want to continue in a short series that I began several weeks ago about fruits of the Spirit. Father, I thank you for the beauty and magnificence of your word. I thank you that you love us enough that took the time to write down your heart on paper. It doesn't contain all your heart, doesn't contain all your thoughts, it doesn't contain all the wisdom. But Father, this is an amazing book that you've given us so that we could understand you better. Holy Spirit, help me to understand you better. Thank you for the Bible. Help me to communicate life this morning, your heart, your breath, your kingdom, as we look into your Bible this morning. Help me in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. I'm going to read from the NIV and then I'm going to use another passage of scripture, another translation for the same one. But Galatians 5, 22, 23, and the NIV says this. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a church. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, is joy, is peace, forbearance, is kindness, is goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and it is self-control. That's the easy one for all us. Against such things, there is no law. In the ESV, in fact, in almost every other translation other than the one that appears on the board behind me, the Bible says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Up here is the word forbearance. And this translation is forbearance. But in the other translations, it says, boom, patience. We want it now. I got it now. Peace and patience. This morning, I would just like to touch on maybe one of 2 weeks. I'm going to put these two together because I do find them so often joined together. Peace and patience. And the good thing is, this is our strong suit. This is what we're great at as Americans. We are strong at patience, strong like bull. Or not. We have microwaves. Allegedly, we have grocery stores that have express lanes where 10 or 12 items are 100 or less for the mathematically challenged people at our stores. We have drive-through lanes because we don't want to get out of our car and have to walk in there unless we have to go to the bathroom. But unless that, and you're tapping your finger, and if you're like me at the drive-through lanes, and I do this all the time, they're at the window, and you got three lanes. Let's take Chick-fil-A just because, you know, seems more like, yeah, Jesus loves chicken. There's three lanes, and I do this every time. There's three cars, two cars. Which lane do I pick? The two car, the slow lane. She's ordering for half a Manhattan. What are you doing? Take the order. And I'm watching the cars. Three lanes go through. Two more. And I'm car number two still in the slow lane, the challenge lane, my lane. Does it make any difference what lane I pick? Don't get behind me in the drive-through lane. But the good thing is, it doesn't drive me nuts. I let it go and I don't even mention it. Peace and patience. I always struggle to, don't pray for patience. Please don't ever pray for patience, because God hears me, hears you. But it's a beautiful concept in Jesus' name. But the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit, when you see someone, a believer, a follower of Jesus, one of the earmarks, one of the hallmarks in their everyday life, one of the things that they look like, they're just people of peace. They're just peace, just exudes from them. And it looks so unusual. It's not slow. That's somebody who doesn't understand. It's just they're a person of peace. And when you get with them, okay, I'm going to embarrass somebody. I love this. Who should? I was thinking about this yesterday. And anybody know Elaine Stern? You just get around her, and she's just listening to you. And I'm wondering, stop thinking. Whatever you have no discernment. You can't see. You just get around certain people, and you just calm down. She is a nurse, and I know that she's used to those situations that, you know, as a nurse, they just, hopefully. How would you like to have a nurse that makes you anxious? But you just get around certain people, and they just take however I'm feeling. That's a fruit of the Spirit. Can you imagine coming to Jesus, and now you're anxious? He's tapping his finger, looking at his watch. I knew it. Here you are again. Trouble. Can you imagine Jesus? Of course not. Jesus is going to take all the time in the world. And when you come into his presence, the peace of God that goes beyond understanding. That's us. He's in us. And when people meet us, Laura Kassebaum is another person. Sorry, Laura, she wanted me to say something about her. There you go. They're just, the peace of heaven just exudes through them. So that's what happens when I spend time with him. I become a person of peace. I'm not gasoline on everyone's fire. Ooh, that's really bad. Ooh, let me tell you what else could happen. Have you thought about this? Could be more. Could be a bad day coming. In fact, it's here. As soon as I stepped into your office, yes, it is. It's arrived. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Peace and patience. Over the last 10 days, my wife and I were able, like I said, we went to our son and daughter-in-law's church in Chicago. It was an amazing church. And afterwards, they live in Chicago, my son and daughter-in-law, and our three grandsons, who are smarter and better than yours. They live in Chicago. Biased, yes. So at Christmas, just recently, we weren't able to spend Christmas with them, which is why we went up there recently. And my son announced, "Hey, Dad, this afternoon, I'm going to take the boys out, and we're going to go shooting their new BB guns."
Yes.
How cool. 13 degrees and the wind's blowing. I'd love to. I can't wait. Are you kidding? So as a grandpa, love to. Love it. Let's go dress light so we can stay short. So we go out. And so this is not an advertisement for BB guns or weaponry of any kind. No political thing this morning. So we go out and we go to a private property, and my son has some little targets, and he sets them up from basically where I'm standing to this microphone thing.
Short.
Well, they are. They're about like this, yeah. And then he sets some out closer to the back row. And my son got all the paraphernalia, and they're BB guns, okay? BB guns. I have a 10-year-old, 7-year-old, 4-year-old grandson. And so he's got this little table set out. And I think the normal distance, even if I go to a target range, is like 7 to 10 yards is the first spot. And then it goes out to like 25 yards, way out there. So my son set these targets. I'm going somewhere. So my son sets a plastic pistol, BB gun pistol, and a rifle. And so all three little boys are, They're teaching them gun control, safety. It's not too bad. Finally, after about 5 minutes with a pistol, one of them hits it. Yay! The crowd went crazy. And so then my son said, "Okay, boys, okay." And so he brought out this rifle. And my son attached a scope to this BB gun rifle. Well, actually first, so he's got the rifle first and bing, 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 you know, shooting snowflakes, whatever. And they did hit it a few times. And then my son put on the scope. And my oldest one just sat there and bing, 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 and ting, 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 ting. He kept hitting it almost every time. They pushed out a little further. The little 7-year-old started hitting it a couple times. And I was like, and they're like, "Papa, you try." No, no. Didn't bring my glasses. It was amazing how much easier it was to hit the target when they had a long barrel for the rifle. But when they put the scope on it, a 10-year-old could hit it. Yeah. A 7-year-old could hit it. It made something very small look very large. And all they had to do was hold steady and hit the target. And I found peace and patience are very similar. It's the opposite of anxiety. Shakiest gun in the West. It's the opposite of praying while in fear and fretting and worrying. Peace and patience slows everything down. And it's like a scope. It allows me to see something clearly. Maybe even it looks bigger when I'm going after something because I can zero in on something. It's peace and patience. When you talk to folks, I've been there myself, and things are overwhelming. Things are too much. The wind and the waves are blowing over the bow of my ship. I'm soaking wet with experience, and I can't even think straight because something is so overwhelming. It's when I remind myself who I really am. I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of the Most High, and I breathe in Holy Spirit, and I remind myself who I am. I'm not one given to anxiety. I'm not one given to fear. I'm not one given to doubt and worry anymore. I'm a child of the Most High, and I calm myself as best I can in order that I can approach life as Jesus approached life. Because I read the red letter, and Jesus is like, what's the problem, boys? And he brings heaven to earth in every situation. So I wonder what your situation is. I wonder what that thing is, or maybe plural, things that are overwhelming. When Jesus was in the boat, I believe it's Mark chapter 5, it's either 4 or 5, Jesus in the boat and he's asleep, he is in perfect peace. Say it's Mark 4. He's in perfect peace in the back of the bow. And the disciples are freaking out and the water's flowing over. And they wake Jesus and they say, don't you care? We're about to die. And Jesus, perfect peace in the midst of a storm. Why? Because heaven is inside him. Holy Spirit is inside him. It's not yet inside his followers, his disciples. And he rebukes the wind and the waves and he says, be still. And they are freaked out, the disciples. Who is this in the boat with me? Your present and your future is the answer. Jesus is in the boat with them, but Holy Spirit's there also. And the future is Holy Spirit's going to be inside of you too, all the disciples. So as I look at my life, if I was going to ask somebody, if I was going to ask a friend, a dear friend, a truth teller, gentle on that one, they're all too often they'll tell you the truth. And you, just for whatever reason, said, you know, to me, am I one of those people that just is always seems calm, brings calm to every situation? Or do I seem like I get worked up every once in a while? Do I get worked up every once in a while? I mean, just every, like once a month, max, maybe once a year. Am I one of those people? And the truth teller said, maybe a little peace and a little patience would be good medicine for your soul. And I look at it and say, Jesus, help me. Help me begin operating in this powerful, this scope, this thing that is, makes me so much more effective in everything I do, operating in, out of peace and patience. It's on the inside. Isaiah 9:6 says this. Powerful scripture. Jesus himself is known as the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says this, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he, Jesus, will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's who he is. That's what he is. Philippians 4:7 says this, and the peace of God, which transcends, goes far beyond, above, in every direction, it transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So often, I think most all of us are Westerners. And in our culture, we are creatures of logic. The East is more mystical. It's more spiritual. That's the way they think. It's just the way they are. But in the West, whether it's Western Europe, Canada, United States, we are logical people. Even in St. Louis and Missouri, what is our state slogan? Show me. I'm not going to believe it. Show me. We need hard evidence before I'm going to believe it. And the peace of God, which goes beyond understanding. What will it do? It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The world is crying out for peace. For generations, thousands of years, it's looking for peace. It finds it in drugs. It finds it in immorality. It finds it in alcohol. It finds it in other religions. People are dying for peace. And we have it right here. And incalculable, unsearchable depth on the inside of you and me. That's it. You can't plumb the depths. That's how much peace and patience you have inside of me and you. Have I learned to extract it? have I learned to pull it out and put it into play in my life? So many people racing thoughts. I was just standing here this morning. I could just hear people's minds racing thoughts, struggling, frettings, whether it's finance, is my marriage ever going to get better? Are my kids ever going to turn? What am I going to do? I don't know how much more I can take. And I just thought, again, I'm going to say this very carefully, okay? Asterisk. Very carefully. I need to go to the counselor. Capital T, capital C. The counselor. I'm an advocate of counseling, human counseling. I'm an advocate of it. But I wonder if Jesus is my first port of call or my last. I wonder if he's the one I run to when I'm in trouble. When I'm struggling on the inside, when just I don't know what to do. My boss is an idiot. Unless you're married to your boss, then he's not an idiot. My boss is an idiot. My boss is opposed to me. My boss doesn't understand me. They're asking too much of me. I'm overwhelmed by my children. I'm overwhelmed by the fact that I don't have children. I'm overwhelmed by, I need help. We would like to pray for you. We would like to pray with you. We'd like to pray and fast that those situations have breakthrough. Because God didn't call us, Jesus didn't come that we live as anxious, anxiety-ridden people. Things happen, real things happen. And that's when brother and sister stand with brother and sister and we wait for breakthrough with each other. But we're not called to stand alone and we're not called to chew our nails down to the nub. Jesus is available. Holy Spirit is available. I have more I had intended on saying. I'll save it for another day. But my question is this. Are you in need of prayer? A. B. Are you willing to help someone else who's in trouble and overwhelmed? Are you in need of help? Are you willing to help someone else? You may be in both camps, both columns. I just want to say this. For this coming year, in 2023 and 2024, it is a year of stepping out of the boat. It is a year of breakthrough. It is a year of abundance. I said that a couple of weeks ago. And this church began taking ground when we began praying as a family, lots of people. And we've laid some concrete, we've laid some foundation in this church. And in the next 2 years, we're going to see us taking off in different areas where young families are going to come in. We're going to see breakthrough into two or three different areas that I believe prophetically has been spoken over this church over the last 3 months. To some people, and we will outline some of that, what has been said. But I believe there's a time for waiting to hear exactly what the Lord has said. And there's a time when we hear what the Lord has said to take action, yes, to step out. Jesus was born, and for 30 years, he waited, and he waited, and he waited. And while he was waiting, he prayed. And he learned. He waited on God. And he didn't do anything. He did nothing that anyone would take note of him, aside from being outstanding and astounding at age 12 in the temple. Besides that, where the teachers were literally astounded with this 12-year-old. That's the only snippet we have into Jesus' first 30 years. All he did was wait patiently when his father said, go. And we have prayed and prayed and prayed in this church, and we will continue to pray because that's what part of what God's called us to do. But in this year, 2023 and 2024 coming up, it's time to see some of the building go up, and it's going to be outside of this building. So don't freak out. It's all going to be great. Nobody's going to ask you to do anything that you don't want to do. But it is time that we see some of the blessing that is in here spilling out outside of its banks into the communities around us. And it's going to be very, very exciting. I can't wait. But I just want to say this morning, we need breakthrough in here as well. It's been too long. Yeah. And so though 23 and 24 is going to be years of abundance, where we're going to see amazing things happening outside these doors. And people are going to be going to many different churches from what we do here. Whether they go to Calvary, whether they go to the Lutheran church, whether they go to Life Church, whether they go to Element down the street or Church on the Rock, I'm not interested in that. I just want people saved and giving their heart to Jesus and becoming Jesus followers. Yeah. Do I want to see some folks come here? Yes. Do I want to see a bunch of people going to a bunch of different churches and helping light them up also? Yes. So it's going to be a great couple of years. But I believe peace and patience are part of seeing the fruit. But peace and patience don't mean inactivity. Peace and patience don't mean doing nothing. Everything Jesus did the last 3.5 years of his life was born out of peace and patience. When he went, the night before he went to select his 12 disciples, it says he went away and prayed all night long. We don't give up prayer or leave prayer behind when we do stuff, amazing stuff. It's part and parcel. But this is going to be a couple of years of seeing, eating the abundance of the land, enjoying the abundance of the land, and seeing hearts changed. So I'm going to give a simple appeal this morning. If you're interested in peace and patience, choose humility. Choose humility. Maybe, and again, this is a reference for some people who maybe have been Christians longer, I'm not interested in making Ishmaels, if that makes sense. Doing things, well, I got a great idea. Hold it, Lord. I got an idea. I don't presume to know all of the how. I'm going to inquire the Lord. We haven't been this way before. But Lord, I want to see blessing. I want to see us break out into the community and see the community know Jesus because of the love that he's shown us. I just want them to know Jesus and his love. So, Father, I thank you for this family. I thank you for this year. I thank you for the upcoming years. Help us, I pray fearfully. Help us, Lord, with peace and patience. That I would hear you, that I would take the time, I would slow down and take the time to inquire of you still every day, to listen, to hear, to search your word, to see if these things be true. Help us, Lord, to be seekers, inquirers, listeners. And I thank you, Lord, that you've called us to be spreaders of your gospel, spreaders of your love, King Jesus. I thank you for your guidance. I thank you that you will lead us and direct us. We give you this year and the next 2-3 years, Lord, guide us and direct us. To who do we love and how are we supposed to love them? Who and how? But I know it's time outside of these doors. Amen. So if you are that person, you would love, oh my gosh. And it's not just, let me say this reverently. It's just not that that dog barking next door is driving you crazy. Pray and fast. I can't take. I'm not talking about barking dogs next door. I have some stories about that. You need a breakthrough. It's gone on long enough. Grab a Connect card. Whatever I did with that Connect card. Grab a Connect card. Most likely, don't write your name on it. I won't say that's not important. We want the information. What are we praying and fasting about? And just slip them in that box in the back. It's directly underneath the exit sign on the way out. Mom needs healing. Dad needs a breakthrough. Job is at risk. Bad diagnosis. Please pray. And we will get at it. If you are one of those prayer warriors, interceders, prayer and fasterer, that's more gooder. Meet maybe 30 minutes after the meeting today, if you can hang around, if not 15, and we will get information to you. Or better yet, you know what? If you're a prayer and an interceder, could you take one of these also? Susie Witzenbaum. prayer and faster, at least some fast, and your name or a way we can contact you so that we can get you some information on who you can pray and fast for. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So if you got a need, put it in there. If you want to pray and fast, put it in there, and we'll dispense and make sure we got it all. Looks like Derek's got something to say. This is Derek, friend of us, man of God.
So many times when Tom's preaching, I'm convicted of Holy Spirit. And so I've told Tom this, and he said, if you got something, bring it up. So I'm bringing it up. I think this week...
This morning. No, sorry.
Exclamation point.
That's right.
Tom, you did a brilliant job.
Thank you.
I think this week, as we do what Tom says, if you're going through something, read 2 Chronicles 20 over and over and over again. 2 Chronicles 20, it says this. I'm not going to read it all. But there was three people that were coming against Jehoshaphat. And as they came against Jehoshaphat, Jehoshaphat didn't know what to do, but he was really scared. And it says, alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire what Tom said, to inquire of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And then Jehoshaphat prayed out. And in the bottom, in verse 12, well, not at the bottom, in verse 12, it says this. For we have no power to face this vast army that's attacking us. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. When you come across something that you don't know what to do, put your eyes on God.
Amen.
The next part of that, in verse 15, a young man named Jahaziel stood up. And he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat and all who live in Judah. This is what the Lord says. The battle is not yours, it's the Lord's.
Beautiful.
And the next thing they did, it says in verse 21, have faith in the Lord your God, and you will be upheld. Have faith in his prophets, and you will be successful. And the next thing they did was worship the Lord.
Beautiful.
The next day they went out, and the entire army was gone. And it took them 3 days to pick up all the plunder. So I just want to encourage us with that this week is read 2 Chronicles 20 over and over and over. And for those of us that are fasting, read 2 Chronicles 20 over and over and over again because the battle is not yours. The prayer you have is the prayer to the Lord, but the battle is the Lord's. So I just want to encourage us with that.
Amen. Could you pray for us?
Yeah. Lord, we just want to say thank you. God, we thank you. Hey, God, you are the God of disruption. Even in a message in the morning, God, by faith, you disrupt. You disrupted what was going on for thousands of years. After 400 years of not hearing from you, you disrupted and you brought your son Jesus. You put a disruption on this earth and says, let's just bring restoration. Father, we thank you for restoration. We thank you that this week, as we go forward and we fast and we pray, there's going to be disruption. Disruption to what our mind was thinking. Disruption to our fear. Disruption to our concern. Disruption to our sickness. Because the blood of Jesus. Because the blood of Jesus. Father, we thank you this week that as we go forward, you are disrupting what was in our past to create a pure future for where you're taking us. Father, we thank you that you've called us kings and priests, that we walk with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that we see every enemy under his feet, under his footstool. Father, we declare that this week in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen and amen. Thank you. We're dismissed. Be blessed. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy yourself. Be blessed. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.